Okay, this is the fifth session, Understanding the Gospel, Series 3, right? Series 3, this is the third series. Matthew 28, I'm going to be very fast. Matthew 28, verses 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Amen. So, we said, this will be Jesus's, or Matthew's summary of what Jesus gave them as instruction within the 40 days. So this will be Jesus' instructions within the 40 days. Matthew summarizes. And it says, Matthew says that instruction is to go make disciples. That's the word Matthew, which implies how one is enrolled in a citadel of learning where he or she is taught or trained in a particular discipline to becoming a scholar, a professor, one who is skilled. And when you look, it says baptizing them in the name of the Father. We've had that discussion, or we had that teaching. So that when you say baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, it actually deals with the entry point into discipleship, which Mark will call going to the nations and preach the gospel. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. He that believe not shall be damned. And this I shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They shall drink deadly things, not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. The sick will recover. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. How come my notes are there? Hello, miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, in verse 20, it tells us how it should be carried out. It says teaching them. So, discipleship is carried out primarily by teaching. This is why teaching meeting is the primary meeting of believers when we gather. So, teaching them to observe all what I have commanded you, say, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So, that word teaching is the word didasco. And we say that word didasco is a family word called didache, which has a root word daho, which means to impact by learning. So we now said the word didasco will carry with it the weight of how what is taught is taught. Didasco means the act of explaining. Didache will mean the mode of explaining what is being explained. Hallelujah. The mode of explaining, or you put the systematic way of communicating truth. Hallelujah. The systematic way of communicating truth. In Matthew 7:28, I hope I'm not too fast like that. Matthew 7:28, and so it was when Jesus was ascended these things that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as a scribe. He was not teaching. The Bible says they were amazed at his teaching, at his systematic way of explaining scriptures. So they were amazed. Hallelujah. They were astonished at his teaching. For he taught as one having authority, not as one of the scribes. Hallelujah. And we looked at that. We began from there looking at what Jesus' didache, what Jesus' mode of teaching is. Hallelujah. And that makes it different from that of the scribes. First, he said he spoke as one having authority, that is, one whose scriptures speak concerning. Hallelujah. One whom the scriptures testify about. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We also looked at it and we said Jesus' didache will mean to begin at Moses. Moses, Luke 24. Look at his teaching. Luke 24, from verses 25. So when he met those two guys on their way to Emmaus, verse 25, Luke 24:25. He said to them, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophet has spoken." He said, "Ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" Verse 27, and beginning at Moses. Did you see that? So, beginning at Moses. So, we say that word beginner came. When the word beginning is used many times in the synoptic and the epistles, is always making reference to Genesis chapter 1, beginning, making references to what Genesis, to Moses, Genesis 1. Hallelujah. Especially Genesis 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. Beginning at Moses. So Jesus' didactic will start from Moses. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. That is the systematic way from Moses. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, they kept asking him questions concerning marriage. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? Jesus' response was not to start. He started from Moses. Look at what he says in verse 4. He said, "Have you not read? He who made them at the beginning." Did you see what he did? He went back to Genesis. This is that. So Jesus is the doctor will begin at Moses. Hallelujah. I follow you. Would begin at Moses. Say, "Have you not read?" So that means also that his didache will also have an original school to read well. It just is the didache, just mode of explaining scriptures. You have to, there's emphasis on reading well, contextual reading. And I say, "Have you not read? He that made them at the beginning." So when you use the word anagenos school, that is the word that means to read again, to read well, to read in context, to pay attention, pay careful attention, read context, read everything. So what Jesus did, remember we said when he replied them in verses 5, he said, "He that made them at the beginning made them male and female, and he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." We say he didn't just quote those scriptures, no. He didn't just quote it, no. He actually read Genesis 1 into Genesis 2. Hallelujah. Genesis 1, 1 into Genesis 2. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when the writers write like that in shorthand, remember I said the four gospels, which is actually the synoptic and the epistles, are actually written in shorthand, meaning they will make references to books, to what is written within the 39 books, for you to read everything in context. So Jesus read from Genesis 1 into 2. Hallelujah. Look at what he said. I showed us should I call it a dichotomy now? When he says, look at what he says. He says, "He who made them at the beginning made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." You know, if you just look at that together, if you look at it, it's not jiving. Hallelujah. But that is because that is shorthand. But when you read everything together, you will know what it means by "shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." He's answering from Genesis 1 into 2. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Remember, just to play around there, remember, this is not doctrine. When I mean doctrine, don't take it as rhema. Now, look at what Moses said. Moses said, he said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother." It's not shall the woman leave father and mother, it's man leave father and mother and join to his wife. How about that? Hallelujah. How about that? Glory to God. Amen. 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 I guess you didn't get where I'm going to. Glory to God. You actually didn't get it. You actually got it. You understand what I'm saying? But no problem. Hallelujah. So Jesus' didache will carry will also imply that you have to read carefully from what Genesis and pay attention to details. We saw in Matthew 12, verse 3 to 5, they came asking him about the Sabbath.
You know, why are you not writing this book? I write on paper. You transcribe. Who will do that same for that? Why did you come to your church? Well, I'm not going to for this particular book. I don't write it like this one. Right?
People that before you leave here to follow the plan is gone. What reference do you have to? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's continue. So, now they asked him a question concerning Sabbath and doing what was lawful, right, on Sabbath. Where did he go to? The Father went to Samuel, right? He took them to Samuel. And then Ram took them again two numbers. Right? He said, have you not read? They asked him the question from question they asked him was from the laws, which is from looking at it critically, it was actually from Deuteronomy. So he took them to Samuel. Do you understand? And then took them back to Numbers. What is he telling me? He's telling them that in analogous ways, after having not read. Do you get? So when he uses that, it will show you that, hey, you read the books together. Systematic reading. Hallelujah. You read everything together. Hallelujah. So Jesus' didactic includes what? You read together within context. Pay attention. Hallelujah. Pay attention to details. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Back to Matthew 28. Back to Luke 24, 27. It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. That word is the word diamenu, which means to interpret for me, a compound of dia and hemenu. Dia means to cut through. Hemenu means to interpret from another root word, hemis, a chief, one who interprets a language. I follow you. One who, a chief speaker, one who interprets a language. So, that word diamenu will also include to interpret language. So, Jesus' leadership will include diamenu, which will imply we would have to interpret the languages, hallelujah, of the 39 books across, or put it this way, Jesus will have to interpret the languages. Now, I didn't use the language for a reason, because even within the 39 books, they had different dispensation, right? And different languages. When I mean different languages, the same Hebrew, written in the same Hebrew, but different mode of, or as I put it, over time, the language actually evolved, right? The message didn't. The message was still the same. Are you following me? Now, so Jesus had to interpret the language of the 39 books. Across different dispensation within that period, and then he will have to cross over to his world. How? His world, what was predominant was Greek, Aramaic. So you have to cross over. So Jesus had to do that diamenu, had to cut across all the scriptures, cross over to his world. Hallelujah. And he expects us to do the same in our world today. Hallelujah. Today we'll have to do the same thing in our world. We'll have to cross over to our world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll have to cross over to our world today. Amen. 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 So, this is why Paul in 2 Timothy 2 will tell Timothy to be diligent. Because Bible study calls for diligence. Bible study is not the time for see bedtime stories. No, Bible study is what you give your time to, what you are diligent to give your time to it. You give your time. It is demanding. Hallelujah. You have to read it again. You have to check it again. In fact, I was telling someone within this week, we also eat, for Bible study also involves a whole lot of mental work. You look at what Jesus did to them in verses 45. He said, and he opened to them the scripture, right? He opened he their understanding that they might comprehend. Now what comprehend sunemai has to do with to reason it out. Hallelujah. To reason it out. That is to say, a whole lot of mental work. They cannot place facts and they cannot place facts together. Place those words and those facts in different words together. Now they cannot see them together. Hallelujah. So Bible study involves a whole lot of mental work also. So you have to be diligent. You can't be in a rush. Nobody who is in a rush gets to understand scripture. You can't be in a rush. I want to understand scriptures. No, you can't be in a rush. You can't be in a rush. No. Everybody who have ever been in a rush to interpret scriptures always make mistakes. They always make their mistake. I know what I'm saying. Hallelujah. You always make that mistake. Anyone who wants to study scripture at shouting time, well, your study of scripture leads to you shouting, thanking God, yes. But if you now make your study time shouting time, ha, bro, you will shout heresy into your brain. Hallelujah. It's just as simple as that. Glory to God. So it requires diligence. Hallelujah. Diligence. So I have to be diligent. And still, I will say, well, in doing so, I will have to read the Old Testament book. We said that, right? I have to read the Old Testament book with the lenses of the synoptic. Right? With the lenses of the synoptic and the epistles. I have to read the Old Testament book in the lenses of the synoptic and the epistles, and then explain it in my world today. I must see it like as that and explain it in my world today. Take note. I'm still specifying it here. Take note. We are actually looking at the Old Testament books with the lenses of the synoptic and the first synoptic and the epistles for a reason. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And remember I said, that doesn't mean that the 39 books are not explanatory on their own. They can stand on their own too. Do you understand me? But for the sake of this teaching, that's what we are doing. Glory to God. You have to look at it because these are the explanations, right? Right? They are the explanations of it which we have seen during our teaching on the revelation of God. Hallelujah. So last week, if you want, what we've just done is just to do a quick summary of what we've been saying. Last week, we looked at the word gospel. Gospel. Huagelion, right? Huagelion in the Greek. And we said, is from the Hebrew word basar. It's from the Hebrew word basar, a word which is used for a kingdom fact. The word basar is used for a kingdom fact. It is used for the announcement of a new kingdom and the fall of another. The announcement of a new kingdom, the fall of another. The announcement of God. And so, it's used for the announcement of God, it's used for God's intervention, God's deliverance. God's intervention, God's deliverance. So, if you look at it, in fact, it's also used for the announcement of the death of a king, the reign of another king, the death of a king, the death of one. So, to say all-encompassing, gospel is good news. That would be the conclusion of it. Do you understand? That would be speaking to the conclusion. Do you understand what I mean? That would be the conclusion of the message together. But you know, when you call it good news, that means if it actually speaks or announces the death of someone, the fall of a kingdom and the rise of another, of a new kingdom, it then means it's not really, is a good news, but it also has bad news in it. It's a good news in conclusion, but it will have news of the bad, of the death of one. It will have news of the fall of another, of a kingdom. Hallelujah. So it's not a so, let me put it this way, it's not so good a news, but it's a good news. Hallelujah. But not so good a news, because you have the death. You have to contain death. In 1 Samuel 31 verse 9, we write that. The announcement of Saul's death in Philistine. The announcement of Saul's death. And it's called news. It's called basar. To announce Saul's death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Second Samuel, David will say, tell it not in Gath. He said, proclaim it not in the street of Ascalon. That will be the death of Saul. Proclaim it not in the street of Ascalon. So he said, do not announce it. Do not announce it. Do not announce that news, because it's not good news. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 1 Kings 1:41-49, it speaks of David making Solomon king. Making him king. So the reign of a king. The announcement of a king's reign. Are you following me? Basar. Glory to God. 1 Chronicles 16:23. is it for God's deliverance? God's deliverance. So therefore, we can call the gospel, the announcement of God's salvation in totality. The announcement of God's salvation, which will include what, in fact, that is, we'll get to see it in this series. Hallelujah. What it entails. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't want to jump, so let's just leave it as it is in my notes. Hallelujah. It will contain, so it will be the announcement of God's salvation, right? Which will carry the fact of that salvation. To carry the fact of that salvation. Which will later say the fact of the salvation. Glory to God. It will carry God's intervention. God's intervention. Hallelujah. God's intervention. God's plan. God's plan. So, from Romans 1, 1 to 4, let's then quickly get to Romans 1, 1 to 4. Okay, Romans 1, 1 to 4. It says, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle. Call an apostle, not apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we said when he says, he calls it the gospel of God, he said, which was promised afore, promised before. That means when you say promised before, you say that word promised before is a synonym to the word ake, which is beginning. Hallelujah. Promised before, that means we'll find it within the 39 books. We'll find it from Genesis. Hallelujah. God's promise. God's gospel. Paul called it the gospel of God. You know, the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ are the same. Hallelujah. They're one and the same. So he calls it the gospel of God concerning Christ. I follow me. It is, he was, so Paul says they had it in the 39 book as a promise. So it will be, so you find God's message of salvation, God's intervention as a promise. Did you get that? As a promise. What God will do, you find it as a promise from Genesis down to Malachi. But remember, we said that would be, when you read them together, that would be the eventual conclusion. You'll find it in Christ, right? Right? It will be Christ. The eventual conclusion will be Christ. We'll get to see all that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. So, I'll find God's intervention, God's good news, right? Right? God's salvation from Genesis. From Genesis. And we went down to Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning. In the beginning. Am I too fast? Am I too fast?
No, I'm not too fast. We've not been able to hold it. Am I too
fast? So, in the beginning, says God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, and we said, since it says which is promised afore, that means I'll find it in Genesis 2. Right? Right? Find it in Genesis. And remember, the audience of Genesis is what? The Exodus. Right? Was that what we said? The audience of Genesis is the Exodus. So, and we said you have to read, if Moses, I mean, Jesus gives us, I don't want to say an headway, but it is an headway. But it tells us the fact that if I read Moses together, it says it talks concerning him. Hallelujah. So he said Moses wrote concerning me. That means if I read Moses together, I'll find that conclusion also in him. Do you understand me? So now, we said you have to read because Moses, look at what we said. We said the background of Genesis is Exodus. The background of Exodus is what? Genesis. Right? Right? What we have written in, what we have written to the Exodus, to then, yeah, to the Exodus, to the children of Israel, you will find the verse that will be Genesis. Now, the reason for Numbers, or Numbers is the reason for Deuteronomy. because of unbelief, right? Numbers is the reason for Deuteronomy. It's also the reason for Leviticus. Reason for Leviticus. And what is the background of Numbers? You find it where? In Genesis and Exodus. Are you following me? So you see, you have to read Moses' 5 books together. You have to read Moses' 5 books together. We've not started talking about Moses. We've not started doing Moses. But I'm just giving us headway. So now when we get to discuss Moses, just Moses. I don't know if it can be called serious. Right? Like, when we get to discuss Moses, you will see that we have to read it together. Hallelujah. To read it together. To read Moses together. But some of Moses, what we're already doing already. Hallelujah. You have to read Moses together, all his books together. Glory to God. So we say you have to read Genesis to Deuteronomy together. So when he comes and says, when Moses says in the beginning, we say that word is the word Reshit. R-E-S-H-I-Y-T-H. Reshit. And we say this from the word Rosh. R-O-S-H. Rosh. A word used for head. Head. Chief. First fruit. A word used for a person. That word Reshit, used for the head, for fruit, a person. In Genesis 10:10, we looked at all the scriptures last week, so I'm just going to show them. In Genesis 10:10, it's used for the beginning, the start of Nimrod's kingdom. Are you following me? The start of Nimrod's kingdom. So it's used for the start of a kingdom. In Genesis 49:3, Reuben is called the Reshit of Jacob. It's called the Reshit of Jacob. Hallelujah. So it's used for a person, Reuben, used for Reuben. In Exodus 23:19, 36:26, Exodus 23:19, Exodus 34:26, Leviticus 2:12, Leviticus 23:10, Numbers 15:20-21, Numbers 18:12, Numbers 24:20. I'll take it again. Exodus 23:19, 34:26. Are you there? Leviticus 2:12, Leviticus 23:10, Numbers 15:20-21, 18:12, 24:20 is used for the first fruit. Is used for the word first fruit. The prophet, as you said, will write Reshit from Moses as that which is the chief or model. We find that in Jeremiah 49:34-35, the chief or model. Hallelujah. So Jeremiah 49:34-35. They will write it also as the first fruit. Ezekiel 20:40, Ezekiel 44:20, 48:14. The word Ezekiel 20:40, 44:20, 48:14. It is also used for the head of a family, Rosh. Rosh, used for the head of a family. Exodus 6:14, 6:25, the head of a family. It is used for the beginning of months, or used for the beginning. Exodus 12:2. So, we now say when we look at it from the lenses of the epistles, first fruits, when you have first fruits, when you have first fruit. Now what Moses now did, remember, when we have first fruit, we've just seen that the word Reshit means implied a person. Do you understand me? It implies a person. So that means what Moses gets to Exodus to communicate. Remember, there's already unbelief. And we said the reason why Moses would not use the language of that day, which is now remember Moses will write, I told us this, that Moses will write a lot in agricultural terms. Why? Because their world is an agricultural world. Are you following me? Right? Remember, if you get to a state like Ekiti and you want to actually teach them the gospel and they don't understand, what language do you think you use the most? No, I know the language. Which parable? What we want to come down to their level. You know, Ekiti people are lazy. They don't farm, they believe book is wealth. So what do you think you use? You go back to books, right? Right? You know you have intellectuals according to them, but it's
Hallelujah.
I just said this thing. Okay, let me use another. Okay, yes. If I'm to go to Bayelsa and I'm teaching in the Costco, you know, there are more. What do they do mostly there? Fishermen. Right? Now, if I teach them in Costco and they are not believing, for example, and I want to come down to their level and I want to use illustrations, what do you think I will use? I will use titles, Kote, water, boat, fisherman. Do you understand? My illustration will be around it. Do you get? My illustration will be around it. If I get to this place, I will be using book. But I don't see any scientific relevance of book. Because most of them are not even educated. But they are deceiving us that they have the most professors. That's like, that's it.
With all their professorship, their winners keep bound to them.
How should I put it? The your world has affected your thinking.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Don't mind me. I didn't say it to speakers, so nobody knows you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's continue. So now you see why Moses will now use first fruit. Moses will use first fruit. Remember, he has used it as beginning in Genesis. Now he gets to Exodus. All the while he used first fruit, he didn't use it as regards to agriculture in Genesis. Do you get me? But when it gets to their world, because this is them. Do you understand? And their world is an agricultural world. So what does it do? He now tells them, see. He now uses Rosh as what? First fruit. Why would he use it as first fruit? And tell them, he now gives them illustrations, or gives them, just as the way he permitted them to put away their wives by giving them a bill of divorce, of divorcement. I remember that was God's intervention. We've explained that, so we're not going there today. Now, he now also, now he's now explaining to them Genesis 1. I now tell them, see, he's trying to let them know that God will be the first fruit. God will bring forth his first fruit. So we will now give them that as a practice to bring the firstlings, do you understand me, of your produce. Do you understand me? Remember, Moses is using that to teach them. Are you following me? He's using the word to teach them God's first fruit. Do you understand me? So he tells them, bring your first fruit. And he said, he will tell them, it's the Lord's. Did you get me? Is the Lord, to show you that God's first fruit will be God himself. Do you understand me? Is the Lord's own. Is the Lord's. Do you understand me? Now, in our day today, people have now monetized it. Your first of no. That is rubbish. Hallelujah. That's rubbish. Because even in, if you look at it from the epistles, first fruit is used for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We saw that last week, right? You saw Jesus Christ. For the resurrection. You saw the resurrection. It's called the firstborn from the dead. For the resurrection. Did you see that? It's used for the resurrection. Not for money. So when you are asked, bring your first fruit. Bring your first fruit. Where is your Isaac? Where is your Isaac? You see, where Moses was to show them first example of first fruit, in Genesis, he showed them with what Isaac. Did you see that? Eh? But we know that that was a teaching meeting. Hallelujah. So where's your Isaac? Remember, Abraham came back with his Isaac. Glory to God. Just very simple. Are you following me? Are you following me? So to teach God's firstborn, to teach God's firstborn. And he said, it is what? Christ. Glory to God. You find that in Romans 8:23, Romans 8:29, 1 Corinthians 15:22, 23, Hebrews 1:6, and Colossians 3 from verses 15 into 18. So Colossians 1, 15 to 18, meter. Hallelujah. He calls him the image of the invisible God. We might not be able to get to the word image today, but we'll get to see that next week. How Moses will now use that word beginning and now use it as image. You see everything together. That's Moses explaining to them. I believe you. Hallelujah. He called him the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him, all things were created. Remember, firstborn was used for Reuben. Do you understand me? Rashid. Right? It's for Reuben. Says, by him, all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or principalities of power, all things were created through him and for him. And is before all things, and in him all things consist. That is the word head, Rosh. I follow him. And he is the head of the body, says it again. That is the explanation. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, model. Did you see that? Chi. It brings in all the words for the word Rosh to Rosh together. Glory to God. Glory to God. That is very important for you to see. So, therefore, the word Roshit is a redemptive word. The word Roshit, Roshit is a redemptive word. A redemptive word. It shows the beginning of God's kingdom amongst men. The beginning of God's kingdom amongst men. It is a resurrection fact. So, what this implies is that Moses begins his writing with redemption facts, resurrection facts. That is how Moses opens Genesis with resurrection facts, with redemption facts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is, in the Roshit, which is in the first fruits, you will find heaven and earth united. And that will be God and man. Do you see that? In the beginning, we can say in God, God created the heavens and the earth. Or in God, you find heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So the word heaven is a word employed by Moses to speak of God's activity amongst men. God's activity amongst men. So in verse 2, we now saw Moses showing to his audience by extension to us. You know that, right? So he was showing his audience by extension to us the earth without the heaven. You see that? The earth without the heaven. The earth without the heaven. Remember in Exodus chapter 3, verses Exodus 6 9, rather, they were unbelieving, right? So he's showing them the earth without the heaven. And that word earth is the word Eretz. 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 A word used for the activity of men, for nations. Hallelujah. Activities of men. For nations. In Exodus 5:12, let's quickly rush to Exodus 5:12. Are you with me? Exodus 5:12. It says, so the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt. Oh, yeah. It says, so the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather to gather stubble instead of straw. That is the word land of Egypt, the nation. How they are used for what? A nation. Right? Chapter 6, verse 19. Used for a land also. 6:19. He says, the sons of Merari were Mahir and Mushi. These are the families of the... Verse 14, 6:14. They said, these are the head of the of the father's houses. He said, the son of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, were Hanok. So I'll get that for us right about now. Hallelujah. I'll sort that out for us. But let's look at that same chapter 6, verse 26 immediately. These are the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, from the land of Egypt according to their armies. You see that? He's used for what? The children of Israel in the land of Egypt. These are the children of Israel. In chapter 7, verse 2-3. He says, you shall speak all I've commanded you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. Isn't that? Is this for the nations, right? Right? And the children of Israel in that land. So the activities of the children of Israel in that land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So remember in chapter 6, verse 9. He says, so Moses spoke to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. What did Moses speak to them about? God's redemption plan from verses 3 to verses 8. And they did not believe. Did you see that? They did not believe. You know, something we'll yet see next week is the fact that, that should be next week, is behind every unbelief, Moses helps us uncover what is behind it. You understand? We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. Helps us uncover it. Glory to God. We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for him to come with that scripture so that we'll look at it. Okay, so remember they were unbelieving. So when Moses writes Genesis 1:2, and it says, look at Genesis 1:2. And it says, and the earth was without form and void. Remember, the earth without the heavens, right? The earth without God's activity, right? The earth without man, we said it's man without God's spirit, right? Right? The earth without God's activity. Heaven is without God's activities amongst men. So, and the earth refers to man's activities. So let's see. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Hallelujah. So when the writer says 1:2, is to show them man without the Spirit of God.
Exodus 6:4.
I wonder where I go for some of my notes.
Or the third heavens. Why was I writing that? Hallelujah. So you live for the land of your privilege. Okay. Hallelujah. So when he writes Genesis 1-2, is to show them man without the Spirit of God, the earth without the heavens. This is that. But remember, what will you find in chapter 1, verse 1? In the first fruits, you'll find what the heavens and the earth together. Right? So Moses now writes. Now, chapter 1, verses 1 and chapter 2 is not progressive. Like when I mean progressive, it's not like chapter 1 happens, then you now have chapter 1-2. No. Verse 2 was not coming from verses 1. Rather, remember I showed us last week that verses 1 is the answer to verse 2. So Moses opens with the solution. Did you get it? Moses opens with the solution. Then he shows you this is the problem. And the problem is what the earth without the heaven. Are you following me? So, first of all, take this out of your mind. Genesis, when Moses was writing Genesis, was not writing creation story. Are you hearing me? Was not writing science. Moses was not a scientist. Moses wasn't writing science at all. No. No. Remember I told you what Moses was writing? He was writing what? Writing to them concerning about what the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Was that what I said? Aha. So you must note that. He was writing to them, you know, the opening, how he opens, tells what he's writing about. He's writing about God's intervention, God's salvation. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So Moses had no intention of writing creation. So what he did now do, teaching them about God's salvation, God's intervention in their world, he now writes it amongst their what? Known history. Do you understand me? What they know. So he writes God's intervention and law around that history. Which history? Their history. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Eh? So you now find God's intervention, God's salvation amongst activities of men. Are you following me? Are you following me? Aha. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. Still are looking at me somehow. Are you following me? Okay. Guy on your side, not convincing enough. But don't worry. After this class, pick your notes and read. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I'm not teaching you to cap it. The day I've taught it, no. We'll look at it next week. Hope I will still teach it. Hallelujah. Repetition. Hallelujah. So don't expect I'll keep teaching it next year. Next 30 years. Next 50 years, I'll still teach it. So there's no running. Hallelujah. Yeah. So let's continue. So it shows them the earth without the heavens, right? Right? Which Paul, remember we're looking at it from the lenses, which Paul in 2 Corinthians, we'll open 2 Corinthians a whole lot with some other scriptures today, which Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, it says, but if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So whose mind the God of this age has blinded? Now what blinded? Is a shade of that Hebrew word darkness. Jonathan is a shade of that Hebrew word darkness. Blinded. Hallelujah. So blinded. Who do not believe? So he tells you that. Remember Moses has told you the earth is actually activities of men, right? Right? Men, right? Are you following me? Now, Paul is telling you the same thing. And he's telling you it is actually the mind of those, he's actually referring to the mind of men whom the God of this world has blinded. Hallelujah. He says, who do not believe? He calls it, this is unbelief. Are you following me? He calls it unbelief. glory to God. So he uses that word blinded, or the word earth will be what? The minds of men. Hallelujah. And he said that darkness is because of unbelief. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? It's unbelief. So, what that shows you is that the darkness in Genesis 1-2 was spiritual. Moses was writing about the spiritual state of man without the Spirit. The spiritual state of man without the spiritual darkness. Hallelujah, spiritual. The darkness is spiritual. So if the darkness is spiritual, that means, okay, we're getting there. Hallelujah, it's spiritual. Jesus says the same too. And what is the cause? Unbelief, right? Unbelief, right? Would that be, they say, hardness of heart? Yes, right? You know, hardness of heart, sclerocardia. Sclerocardia is from the word scleruno, word used for stiffness, the word used for stubbornness, wickedness. And the writer of Hebrews says, is all what? Unbelief. Hebrews 3:15. We'll come again shortly. Hallelujah. We'll get into them together. I want to bring out something for you to see. Hallelujah. Though I mentioned this last week, but we're having an explanation of it today. Glory to God. So Jesus also will say the same thing in Matthew 13:14. But we'll start from verse 13, so that you see. 13:13 into 15 rather. He said, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them is the promise of Isaiah fulfilled, which says, that is Isaiah 6:9-10. It says, hearing you will hear and you will not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Say, for the heart of the people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Just like that word closed is another shade of the word blind. Do you understand me? Which is also a shade of the word darkness. He said, their eyes they have closed. Jesus, or let me not say Jesus, is saying what Paul has said. Rather, he say Paul is writing also from Jesus. Did you see that? He says, Paul will say that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them who do not believe. Did you see that? When Jesus reads that, he says, they have closed. You need to see that shortly. Hallelujah. And he's writing from, he's reading from Isaiah. Isaiah 6. So this implies that the darkness in Genesis 1-2 is spiritual, and it is man's choice. It's man's effort. Jesus said they have closed. Paul said they do not believe. Did you see that? So it's man's choice. It's man's effort. So what Moses is writing in Genesis 1-2 is man's choice, which he shows also in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Quickly, let's get to Deuteronomy 30. I hope you are following how we're seeing it, right? Deuteronomy 30. We like for them to see that again. It's man's choice. Look at verse 6. I'll pick up some scriptures. Verse 6, it says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendant to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Is this Genesis 1:1? Look at it. Is that Genesis 1:1? It says, the Lord will circumcise your heart. Did you see that? Come on, be fast. Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, 36. Are you there? Can you see that? Is that Genesis 1:1? Eh? Look at it well. Genesis 1:1 is in the beginning, in the Rashid, right? In the Rashid, God created the heavens and the earth. God's word. He said, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. Are you following that? We circumcise your heart. We will get to see it again. But that is Genesis 1:1. Right? That is God's plan. Then get down to verses 14. He tells them about the gospel, the message. He now says in verse 14, he says, but the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may say, that you may do it. He says, see, I have set before you life. I have set before you today. Today. He says, life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways. In all his ways, and keep his commandments and his statutes and do his judgment, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you possess. Do you see that? But if your heart turns away so that you will not hear, and are drawn away and to worship other gods and serve them, I announce you today that you shall surely perish, and you shall not, and you shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go and possess. Hallelujah. He now says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Is this Genesis 1:2? Choice. It's man's choice. Are you following me? Right? This is Genesis 1:2 in Moses' words to them. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Then he will now write in that pattern for them to see the earth without the heavens. It's dark. So when your choice, when man's choice is not Genesis 1:1, what you will have is what? Empty and void. Tohu wa bohu. Which is what? Emptiness, waste. Are you following me? Emptiness, waste, without the Spirit of God. Are you following that? Hallelujah. 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 Are you understanding that? Glory to God. Glory to God. I will have one person in this class. Okay. So, what this implies, like I said, is Genesis 1:2 is spiritual and it's man's choice, man's effort. So, therefore, Moses shows us God's work. What is God's work in that verse 2 of Genesis 1:2? Let's go to Genesis 1:2. Let's read together. Let's see what God's work is. Genesis 1:2. Let's read together. 1:2, go. Are you there? Okay, let's go. 1:2, go. Hallelujah. Let's take it one more time. So it shows us God's work, and God's work is that the Spirit moved upon the surface of the water, or the Spirit of God was hovering. So it shows us the work of God's Spirit, what God is doing in the earth. Hallelujah. What God is doing in the earth by His Spirit is what? Over the surface of the waters. And when He uses the word waters, what will let see next week? Waters is used for nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So waters is used for nations. So God's work by His Spirit is in all the nations of the earth. Do you see that? It's in all the nations of the earth. Moses is writing it deliberately. We are going to see it now. Moses is writing deliberately to them in all the surface of the earth. So when he tells them the Spirit of the Lord is work, the work of the Spirit which is in all the earth, is to let them see that the darkness is not an Israel darkness. Are you following me? The darkness is not an Israel darkness. It's not a nation. Okay, let me not. It's not a national issue. It's not a national issue. It's not an Israel that is all the nations of the earth. Nations of the earth will include people, right? We just read that now. Nations will have to do with people, activities of men. So it's talking about all. It's talking about man, and it's not restricted to a particular tribe or nation. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Hallelujah. So, quickly. It's not Israel's darkness. Rather, Moses writes that unbelief is man's effort And we can say he was writing the practice of his word. The practice of his word. Or he was writing concerning what was happening in his world. The practice of this world has darkness. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I mean by the practice of his word was darkness? I'm trying to look for a way. I spent a whole lot of time trying to reason that word so I can get it in the simplest form for you to make. But I can explain what I mean by part of his word is darkness. That is to say, he unites the practice of his word. Remember, it was a brutal world where the practice of his world would imply the practice of men, right? In his world. And he unites those activities that were not godly, he unites them together as darkness. Hallelujah. So, first of all, he's not writing to Israel, or we're not referring to Israel as a nation, or referring to just Israel as that darkness in Genesis 1-2. Rather, he's writing concerning everyone in his world without who do not believe. Genesis. So it was not restricted to Israel, but to the nations of the world. Hallelujah. So the nations of the world, right? So the man who does not believe, is it just in Israel? No, but in the nations of the world, because the spirit work is in the nations of the world. I follow me. So the man who doesn't believe in his world, right? He unites all of them, both their practice, and he calls it darkness. Hallelujah. So when he says, waters, it implies that man in all the nations of the earth who believe not, right? Who believe not, he says waters in that verse 2. He implies the man in all the nations of the earth, or men in all the nations of the earth, who do not believe. Hallelujah. And he unites their practice. He unites all of them together in darkness. This is that. He unites all the men who do not believe in darkness. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, this implies that unbelief goes into the roots of practice of men. Unbelief goes into the roots of the practice of men. It goes down to their relationship and their value system. Unbelief goes down to their relationship and value system. A man of God once said, the root of evil in the world is man's sin. I believe it. Hallelujah. He said, the root of evil in the world is man's sin. I believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Because unbelief, in fact, unbelief affects your perception. We'll get to see that. See. No matter how good your morals are, listen. No matter how good your morals are, it doesn't change. See, you might only put up, I would like to use this, you can only put up with the Joneses for a little while. Your true reflection will always show in your decision. You also always show in your relationship. No matter how good your morals are. You can only put up with it for a little while. Let's say 10, 15, 20, 30 years. But you always show up. In one way or the other, you show up. And I'm being careful not to see one or two things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you always show up. I know what I'm telling you about. Hallelujah. It's always clean. You ever used to tell you something? I said, no matter how good an unbeliever is to you, see. If it's a show you is recolor, you always see. It's only show. It's only show. I remember I warned my dad the time ago I concerned somebody. He was hyping this person. This person was not born again. This was nobody. He would say, we're not using it to compare believers. Imagine that. Think it. Oh, born again, this person you are hyping like this. This is not saying though. You're like, Now, I've left you guys. Okay. You might not still understand what I'm doing. This is not safe, though. No. Ah, when the person now showed him sheep, after years, he needed redemption for his life to open. Do you understand? Ah, he couldn't believe it. I said, that is it. See, one day, that character will show. Do you get it? Because, see, unbelief goes into the root of a man's relationship. It goes in, see, it will always show in the man's decision. It will always show. Hallelujah. It will always show. One way or the other. You might keep up with morals, but morals has never sustained a man alone. Morals alone has never sustained a man totally. It hasn't. Hallelujah. Morals alone. How many moral education they taught people in school? How many of them are still using it? Morals alone. I know of people with good morals that have flopped in one way or the other. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Neither does moral guarantee a man redemption. It doesn't. Did you get it? I remember going off evangelism one time. The way I used to do evangelism, after I'm done, I'll ask you, do you have any question for me? Question and answer time. So the guy asks, he doesn't see. I used to do good. Very well. I do good well. I have, seriously, and the guy is someone on base, that you know he has good morals. In fact, many people think he was born again, but he wasn't. You know that? He wasn't. And I didn't even know. I just met him. That should be around block L10. Just met him. I entered the block. Like, I'll just enter the block. Not some people that will be passing middle of the block as though they are doing, they are selling him the kuti and be looking around. Maybe someone spoke. Let me just look for. I'll just enter the block. I won't ask. I'll just enter the block. Just walk row by row as a, how do they call it standing? Mm-hmm. Eh? You started domo by domo. How can you see? Floor by floor. Hallelujah. I'll just walk floor by floor. Anyone I see. So I just met him. So in my head, I was just like, sorry, but let me just flew. So in my mind, I was just preaching, but in my mind, I didn't see. You know, I've classified and see. Like, when you know. So you know, started. Well, I knew that, this one. And he's not saying, you know, but then he said, you know, I used to keep the laws in Romans. Ah! Rome what? Yeah, this is salvation. And this road. And this road is. Hallelujah. I was like, okay, this is interesting. He said, the law in Romans. The Ten Commandments, they usually know the Ten Commandments in Romans. I'm like, oh, interesting. And they see, and the guy, if you see him, he dresses well. Good guy. Sworn I just know me. So, you know, and you see him, that's what gave him a good home. So, you just keep saying that. I don't do this. Like, you know, nowadays, boys might have girlfriends. I don't have a girlfriend. I don't steal. I don't, you know, like, he was quoting all the laws that he keeps. He doesn't. He believes that he's born again. Interesting. Dig it. He believes that he goes, if I commit sin, like I lie small, I will go and confess my sins to Father and things like that. You know, those kind of people saying, well, when you, I mean, seriously. So how are you? Okay. And you already, you know, you are eyeing some people, but you can't say because you're a man of God. So you say, no, never know. No. And then you may want preach because you're sorry, sir. Can you bless me if you don't know the scripture? So I don't say okay. Where was I went? I just told him. Yeah, you have good morals, cool. And I said, if you, and that was how I actually came out of that box. I said, you have a, if you have a good, or if you have a drum of clean water, I've told us, use this illustration several before, for us. Hallelujah. A drop of clean water. And then, and the drop is clean. He said, yes. He said, can I take a little, and it's a clean one, I lay. I'm taking little dirt. Little dirt. Little as this. And I'm putting it inside the water. The water is clean. The guy said, it's not clean. I said, thank you. And I said, no matter how good you are, how your morals are, if you have not permit me. And if you have not done ABC, if you don't know what is ABC, just continue, just listen. If you don't know what, if you have not done ABC, you are not saved. ABC means you accept a sinner, you believe Jesus died for you, and then you confess him as a Lord and personal Savior. If you have not done this, you are not saved at all. All your goods, because you are not saved, they are nothing. It's just like that debt inside that clean water. So all your effort is nothing. The guy was shocked. And I say, what if I'm now saved? And sin, I don't know, when you are saved, that drum of water is thrown away. You don't have, Jesus calls it, please don't ever use this evangelism. Because you are 30 years back. Jesus says it's a spring of living water. You know what a spring is? Hallelujah. A spring. Can you have death in a spring? No. Spring. Hallelujah. But seriously, you could have people like that. Good morals. Good morals. But good morals has never guaranteed anyone salvation. No. Hallelujah. Has never. Never. Hallelujah. Because unbelief will always go to the root of their relationship. Hallelujah. Unbelief. So, Isaiah, in Isaiah 61 to 2. Isaiah 60, let's look at that. In Isaiah 60, if you there, I read. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Say, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Say, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, the kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, Isaiah writes for Moses. You know, this is Moses. This is Isaiah. This is Genesis 1:1-2. Hallelujah. He writes for Moses. Hallelujah. Let's see that. Hallelujah. He writes for Moses, and he will write as Moses. Like the same pattern of Moses' writing. So he starts from verse 1. He says, arise, shine, for your light is come. He says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That is the solution. To verse 2, it says darkness the light, it says gross darkness the people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So here's the solution to verse 2. And what is that solution? The light. The light is. Hallelujah. The light in verse 1 is that solution. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that is the same thing God Moses writes in Genesis 1:2-3. Look at Genesis 1:2-3. When he was done saying, and God says, and God said, let there be light. Did you see that? Are you seeing that? Let there be light. Exactly. Let there be light. What Moses told writing Genesis 1:2-3. Hallelujah. God's answer is to call forth light out of darkness. Say, let there be light. Before we get to verse 3, where he calls forth light, in verse 2, Moses lets us see that the Spirit of God hovers over the surface of the deep to let you know that God's plan is not for a tribe. God's plan is not for a tribe. He says, remember, the surface of the deep, which is the surface of the water, refers to what? Nations, right? So God's plan is not for a tribe, a specific tribe. Remember, Moses is writing it to the children of Israel. So he's letting them know that God's plan is not an Israel's plan. It's not an Israel's message. Are you following me? It's not a national. So the gospel is writing for them. Most likely for them to see that the gospel is not an Israeli not an Israeli salvation, not an Israeli gospel. No, are you following me? Remember, Moses got to Pharaoh with the same message. Are you following me? Eh? Glory to God. So when he said the Spirit of God over the surface of the water, he was going to see that it's not for a tribe. God's salvation is not for a specific nation, but for the whole world, the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. So Moses writes it for you to see. So Moses is writing that. You know, he says it in chapter 1, then he writes it in Genesis 14 for you to see. So he brings out, he shows you a Gentile priest by name Melchizedek. Genesis 14, verse 18, he shows you Melchizedek. Let's get to Genesis 14, verse 18. It says, then Melchizedek is a king of Salem. Did you see that? Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought up bread and wine. He said he was the priest of God. He was the priest of God most high. He was the priest of God. Now, Moses writes for you to see a king priest. We're not getting to king priest today, not even in this series. Hallelujah. But he writes for you to see that. Remember, if you get to Exodus, he said God wants, God's plan was for them to be a kingdom of priests. Right? King priest. So he writes for them to see a Gentile nation, a Gentile priest, Melchizedek, and he calls him what? A king priest. He says he is the king of Salem, a king who is a priest. Did you see that? And not just a priest, a priest of God. Hallelujah. He calls him the king of Salem. Salem. That is the word translated peace. The king of peace. Hallelujah. Now, Salem is a place. And that is where you have the word Jerusalem. You know, when you have the word Jerusalem, Jeru is the word, or Yeru is the word used for a place. Yeru is a word for that implies a place. Salem means peace. So, place of peace. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So, it's the king of Salem. King of Salem. And Salem is a Gentile nation. So Moses writes that for you to see that, hey, the gospel is writing for them to know, when you hear priest of the Most High God, make sure you know that this gospel is not just restricted to Abraham. Do you get? It's not just restricted to a particular tribe. No. Do you get? Hallelujah. Is a message that is ministered all over the earth, all over the nations. Glory to God. So maybe when Abraham too is a prophet, right? We are going to see that Abraham is a prophet of God. Meaning Abraham too is a minister of the gospel, right? Abraham is a minister of the gospel, and there are also other ministers of the gospel in the same field, in on the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But God chose Abraham specifically to give what humanity. Through Abraham, will now have the humanity of God in the earth. We'll get to see that. These are part of the things that we'll see in this series. Hallelujah. How that happened. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's because Israel is going to give humanity to the seed of the woman. Is what makes it look as if it was special. Or maybe look as if they are a special nation, but there's nothing special about them as a nation. They only give humanity to God's seed. And God's seed will be for the whole earth. We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So shut your mind, Lord. People are telling you, have you gone to Jerusalem? You know, there's a song, I love singing. I still sing. But, yeah, here is a song. God is building Jerusalem. I still sing it, but you know, you don't need to. Well, I'm very soon. I will edit something. God is building, because he's still got work in the earth, right? Yeah. Right? God's work in the earth. right? God is building his church, right? Right? Do you believe that? God is building his church.
No, he hasn't built his church.
He has built his church, and yet he's building his church. God is still building his church. And he's building his church through us. He says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors to their for the perfecting of the saints. Did you get it? So he's building his church through us. Hallelujah. But don't worry. We'll talk about it there. We'll get there soon. Hallelujah. So he's building his church through us. Glory to God. He has built his church, and yet he's building it through us. Glory to God. So God is building Jerusalem. He says, God bring together the outcasts. Of what? Of what? Israel. He's the broken heart. He's binding all their wounds. He's gathering together the outcast of Israel. The Lord is building Jerusalem. Somebody now said, if there's peace in Israel. Have you heard that before? Huh? Have you heard that before? Say, there's peace in Israel. Then there's peace in the body of Israel. What did he say? Hallelujah. We're praying for the peace of the kingdom. And the people want to get to Jerusalem. Where are you? Where are you? Oh, this is Gethsemane. Come back. Hallelujah. Those are just nonsense. Okay. Are you with me? So, it shows you Melchizedek, whom the writer of Hebrew will now say, was without father, mother, beginning or ending of days. That is to say, what we are telling, what the writer of Hebrew is telling us, is not that Melchizedek is, does not have father or mother. If you know why I'm laughing, if you don't know, just be born again. Just keep quiet, you know? Hallelujah. Without father or mother, without beginning or ending of days. This is like the priest of God. You say one word, you miss your salvation. Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews was just giving us, letting us know that Moses didn't actually give us his genealogy. That's what he was trying to say with our father and mother. I mean, when it was written to us in Genesis, we were not meant to know who his father was, nor his beginning, nor his end. Okay, say that into the speaker. Yeah. Hallelujah. So Moses writes, I mean, the writer of Hebrew writes to make you know that Moses didn't give us his genealogy. His genealogy was not known. So that's why I say without father, no mother, beginning or end of it. Meaning Moses didn't write it for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But Moses writes for you to see that a Gentile will have Gentile priests. Right? So to make you know that is not a, the gospel is not an Israeli's gospel. Do you get? Also in Exodus 18, he shows us, Exodus 18:1, he shows us another person by name Jethro. He said, and Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God has done for Moses and for Israel, his people. And that the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. Did you see that? It is not a national religion or a national salvation. Do you understand? It's not for a particular tribe. In fact, when Abraham was called, Abraham was not a Jew. When he was called. Hallelujah. Not a Jew, but when he was called. Paul writes it for you to see that Abraham was a Gentile. Are you following me? No, not a Jew. He was a Gentile. Glory to God. So that means when God called Abraham, they were ordered to in his days. Are you following me?
No, I was not a Jew. No, I was not a Jew. Neither was Methuselah, Lamech. They were not Jews. So it's not restricted to Israel. Are you following me? Are you following me? He also wrote for you to see Cain. You know, Cain now had family. Are you following me? Cain now had family. Cain disobeyed. Cain did not believe. Yes, he had family. You know that? So the world was already full. In fact, when he sent Cain out of his sight, that is, to be away from God's presence, that is unbelief, man without heaven, what did Cain say? He said, if they see me, they are going to destroy me. Who? Who? People, right? Many of the earth was already populated. So Moses was not writing creation. He was not writing creation story. No, he's writing God's salvation. Are you hearing me? God's salvation plan, God's salvation promise. Glory to God. Glory to God. So can I ask you a question? When Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, was the gospel of Christ or was the gospel of God still ministered in other nations of the earth? Was it still ministered? Yes. Was it only ministered in Israel? No. Are you following that? Glory to God. Is in national. So God's plan is for the nations of the earth, not just for Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means there were other nations where the gospel was also being told. Glory to God. So Paul buttresses it in Romans 9 and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans 12, that says, it's not a national, it's not for a nation. No. Hallelujah. It's not for a nation. Nobody should box Christianity to a particular nation. They say this nation is where Christianity came from. No! Hallelujah! Are you following me? You can show it through scriptures. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That's a Christianity. That's a Christianity. Hallelujah! Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. But you know what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. It says, for in one spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek. Did you see? Whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink in one spirit. Colossians 3:11. It says, I'll start from verse 10. It says, and I put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. He says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian. I mean circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slaves nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So in salvation, we must find every nation in Christ. In salvation, we must find every nation in Christ, both man and woman. Both man and woman. It's a bond of free, male nor female. You find them because when he uses male or female, this becomes the core in their world. You understand me? The core in their world. Their world was they discriminate gender, there was gender inequality. In their world, where women were not treated as human beings. Hallelujah. When I mean human beings, they were just treated like slaves, chattels. Hallelujah. Treated as good for nothing. But they are not. Hallelujah. They are not. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we'll get there in this series. Moses now deliberately writes Genesis 1 to 7. We'll get there. And now says, he made them male and female, created he them. Do you see that? So Moses writes that deliberately, that God created them male and female. Hallelujah. Shall we then complete this today?
Glory to God. Glory to God. So in 2 Corinthians 4 again, verse 3, we read verse 3, verse 4, let's look at verse 5. So we see that shortly concerning male and female. He writes it deliberately to show that the gospel is not, or in salvation, in God's plan, you will find that unity. So that means, while Moses was writing God's salvation, he was also writing God's intervention. Right? Right? From what is happening in their world, women were not treated as anything, right? So he writes that in salvation, in God's plan, you find male and female. You see that? That is God's plan. That is God's plan. Heaven and earth, heaven will mean male, both man and woman. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you there? From verses 3. He says, but if our gospel is vague, a shade of the word dark, right? If our gospel is dark or is darkened, it is vague to those who are perishing. That's it. Whose mind the God of this world has blinded. Do you see that? Has what? Blinded. We read this earlier. Who do not believe? He said, lest the light of the gospel. That is Genesis 1:3, right? Right? Paul is Genesis 1:3. The light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He calls that light the image of God. That's what Paul calls the light. The image. I follow him. So the light is the image. He makes you see. That is the icon. But we get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. I say, who is the image of God should shine on them? That's it. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ. For Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. Look at that. Before we get to verse 6, look at what he says. He said, Paul calls the work of the Spirit in convincing the heart of man. He calls it, it is done via the preaching of the gospel. Do you see that? It's done how? Via the preaching of the gospel. So when he says light be in Genesis 1:3, that word light is from the word or in the Hebrew. Or. Genesis 1:3. That is the word or in the Hebrew. A word used for God and his works. A word used, that word or, is a word you'll find used for God and his works. The psalmist will use that a lot in Psalms 4 verse 6. Psalms 4 verse 6. If you dare read. It says, there are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. He calls it the light of his countenance. It's used for God's presence, his goodness. Say, who will show us goodness? Say, oh Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. So his countenance is called his goodness. Hallelujah. It's used for God's presence. His goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Psalms 27, verse 1, God is called light. God is called light. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. God is called light. In Psalms 112, verse 4, before that, add Psalms 36, verse 9. Psalms 112, verse 4. If you're there, I'm going to read. It says, unto the upright there arises light. He's writing this in Genesis. And I need you to see this all together. Are you there? It says, unto the upright, unto the upright there arises light. In the darkness, he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. And righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's reading Genesis 1:3. The psalmist called the light that which arises in the heart of the upright. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That will arise in the heart of the upright. He calls it right. Light. So it's the light that makes the dark, or that makes a man upright. Let's put it like that for today. Hallelujah. He calls that which arises, calls light, that which arises in the heart of the upright. Which Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:6, where we're about to read before, says, God who has commanded light to shine out of darkness. Let's look at that. Get all these scriptures down, make sure you write in them. Verse 6. It says, for God who has commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of Christ, of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Paul will explain it as, when a man believes the gospel, the light of God shines in his heart. And he calls the light the knowledge of Christ. He calls it the light of the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Are you following that? Are you following that? So since darkness is the absence of God, light is God in the believer. Since darkness, we say darkness, the earth without the earth being dark, without form and void, and darkness will fall on the face of the deep. No, and we say that is what the earth without the Spirit of God, right? Man without God's Spirit. So since that darkness is explained as man without the Spirit of God, light, which is the solution, is what? The Spirit of God. Right? God in man. God in the man who believes. Are you following me? Are we reading Moses together? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means, I remember we said light will be said to be used for God earlier. So John calls God light. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God is the Word. It's the same was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him or by him. And without him is anything made that is made. He said, in him is life. And that life is the light of men. So call God light. In 1 John 1:5, he says, God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Read that? He said, God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. So God is called light. God is light. That word light is the word phos in the Greek. It's a word used for God, for his direction. John 8:12. Hallelujah. For God, his direction. John 8:12. Hallelujah. For what we've received in Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, when God says, let there be light, the Hebrew actually has it as, God says, light be. Not light be and light was. Hallelujah. Light be. Hallelujah. So when God says, let there be light, or light be, in the face of darkness, he calls forth himself as the solution to darkness. That's what he's doing. Are you following me? Say, light be. Remember, we've seen light as God. Right? So God calls forth himself as the solution to man's problem, to man's wrong choice. Are you following me? Remember, we say that darkness is man's choice, right? So that's so, and the solution is God himself. Hallelujah. To man's problem. So since the root of man's problem is unbelief, God offers himself as the cure to man's problem. Offers himself as the answer to man's problem. So God is the solution to all of man's problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that answer is found in the gospel. Therefore, Genesis 1 and Genesis 3 are the same. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light, and there was light. They are the same. He's writing, he's repeating the same thing. Let there be light, and there was light. He called for light to shine out of darkness. He'll be saying the same thing. What did God go ahead to do in verse 4?
Are you following me?
As
we begin to round up the session.
Verse 4. He said, and God saw that the light
was good. Take note of that. God saw it was good. So from Genesis 1, what did God see as good? Well, what does God see as good from Genesis 1? His work, heaven and earth. Did you see that? Are you ready? What God sees as good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. This God.
Hallelujah. Amen. So what God sees as good is what? Is this. Let's proceed. Well, one verse. Verse 4. God saw it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Take note of that word. God divided the light from the darkness.
This is not working anymore.
He divided the light from the darkness. Let's look at that quickly. To show, when God does that, that is to show that the distinction. Okay. When God said,
so light was good, and he divided light from darkness, is to show that the distinction
in man will not be based on morals or ethics or race or gender, but rather in salvation. Do you see that? The distinction in man, where you have dichotomy in man, will not be based on morals or gender. Do you get me? Or ethnic or race. No race is superior to another race. Are you hearing me? No race is superior to another race. No ethnic group is superior to another ethnic group. No language is superior to another language. No. Hallelujah. No morals. Men can be divided on morals or gender. No. Where you find a divider in man or amongst men will be what? In salvation. So he divided what? Light from darkness. Are you following me? Light. So that is the divider. Light from darkness. Good from evil. Are you following me? Not one ethnic group from another. Not equity from Bayelsa. No! Good from evil. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Not man from woman. Not son from daughters. No! Are you following me? You must learn to say that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So what is Moses doing? Moses is not just teaching them God's salvation. He's reworking their mind. Hallelujah. That where the distinction is not between man and woman. No, the distinction is where? Belief is in. I said before you what? Life and death. Did you see that? Good and evil. Did you see that? Are you following me? That is the divider. That is the divider. Deuteronomy 36, 32, 30:15. Hallelujah. That is the divider. Glory to God. God separated light from darkness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this implies that a change in conduct will be first seen from salvation. A changing conduct will be first seen from salvation. Not from morals first, but from salvation first. Morals is good. But it must start from where it ought to start from. Where? Salvation. Are you following me? It has to start from the right place. Salvation. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Salvation. That means the new creation is the answer. The new creation is the answer. God's light is the answer. Are you following me? God's light is the answer. The new creation is. John calls God love. He calls God light. He calls God love. 1 John 4:8 say God is love. So therefore, God's light is God's love. God's light is God's love. Are you following me? God's light is God's love. And today, by extension, I missed something. Therefore, Moses goes into the core of human relationship in his day. He goes into the core of human relationship in his day. And by extension, today, to my day, to our day today, hallelujah, and says the answer to man's ravishing and unstable standard will be found in salvation. God's light, God's love. So Moses reworks it. It's no moral force. No, it's salvation force, then morals. Are you following me? It's salvation force, then morals. He reworks it. Hallelujah. It's salvation force, then you see men. Man and woman in Christ. Hallelujah. So he reworks it. Hallelujah. He reworks it. It's not morals. It's not how you've created the economy. It's not how you've seen people, the races, the gender. No. See it first from salvation. Then you have, I believe you. So your morals will come from salvation. Hallelujah. So the gospel becomes the light to every other walk, to how my relationship will be. The gospel becomes the light to how I relate with men. The gospel becomes the light to how I call men. The gospel becomes the light to how I see my fellow men. Are you following me? How I conduct myself in this society. The gospel becomes the light. Hallelujah. Are you following me? The gospel becomes the solution, becomes the answer. How I talk to men, how I relate to them is from the gospel. Glory to God. So, like we said, Moses goes into the core of their practice, the core of his day, and by extension today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go ahead. So he answers, he says to us that the answer to man's ravishing and unstable standard will be found in salvation, in the gospel preached. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this is how God leads the new creation. Hallelujah. We have God leads the new creation. Man's answer is so man's answer to his problem, this is how God leads the new creation. And this is why the gospel needs to be preached. This is why the gospel needs to be preached. Because remember, this is what God is doing in all the earth. Right? In all the earth. Moses writes and says the earth will be filled with the knowledge of His glory, right? With His glory, He says, as waters over the sea. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's plan is for all the nations of the earth. All the nations of the earth. And He does that through the preaching of His gospel. Through the preaching of the gospel. Who preached the gospel? Man. God makes use of what is available to man. And that is man. I follow me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he's reading from Genesis. Genesis. Are you seeing that? That's Genesis. Genesis. That's Genesis. Glory to God. All the world. The mission is for all the world. Hallelujah. So, man's answer to his problem
is not education. No. It's not philosophy. No. No. Man's answer to his problem is God. Hallelujah. The answer to man's problem is not philosophy. It's not education. Education is good, but that doesn't solve man's problem. Education has not been able to stop the way men are being killed all over some nations. Education has nothing. Hallelujah. Are you following me? We have more civilized nations where you just hear of mass shooting and people are dead. We have nations that are well civilized and they are killing themselves and throwing bombs. We have nations. And you think it's philosophy? That is the answer. I think is education. Even the educated ones are being kidnapped. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that is not the answer to a man's problem. We have educated people carry arms in this nation before. So education is not the answer. Education is good, but that is not the answer. The answer to man's problem is in the gospel. Is in the gospel. Hallelujah. So when you see a movement like the NSAS movement, let's call it NSAS now, or looting of palliative, you saw that, right? You saw that mass movement, right? Burning down buses, doing all those stuff, breaking people's homes, you hear of robbery attack, you hear of robbery attack, you hear of those issues around the society. See, let me tell you, it then shows that you and I have a whole lot of work to do. You and I have a whole lot of work to do. Hallelujah. Stop doing, I'm not saying it to us because we don't do it. We try as much as we can not to. And we trust God not to. Hallelujah. You don't do church shufflings. No. Don't go and steal people's members. No. Hallelujah. There are more men to be saved on our streets. Hallelujah. Whenever you hear of this news, news of kidnap, news of bandits, news of terrorists, all around, it shows there's more work to be done. Hallelujah. It shows there's more work to be done. Hallelujah. It shows that there's more work to be done. Because the answer is not, what did they do that they dropped arms? What is it called? Amnesty. The answer is not amnesty. We have a region that they've done amnesty for. What are you seeing amnesty again? And there's still killings going on there. So the solution is not amnesty. The solution to man's problem is the gospel. It's the gospel. Because when a man is not saved, he goes into his relationship. He will always find wickedness in his actions. He will always find selfishness in his actions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when I see unbelief, the unsaved, I must function as God's solution in answering that problem. And the answer is the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to give us a charge this week. On a weekly basis, how many times, how many people do you reach out to with the word of God? It's an assignment for us. Not an assignment to hear, but an assignment to do. Hallelujah. On a weekly basis, how many people do you reach out to? Reach out to with the word of God? How many? I charge myself. How many do we reach out to? How many? How many? How many do we reach out to? How many do we reach out to? There are several people who might just talk to on normal basis. Just chat with. Just gist with. But you know, and we'll forget the major reason why those people came around to us.
I was having a conversation with someone over the wheat. We just got talking. We met on a platform and we just got talking. Just got talking over the phone. Just got talking. Just talking. Where the person doesn't know I'm a pastor, the person doesn't know.
No, I don't want to. I want the person to discover. Hallelujah. So, why would just God talking and talking over the phone? I just had, let's call it revelation. And I just said, please, please. I just started talking. I just said, please do it. This. And I started talking, okay. I didn't plan for long talk. But it ran into minutes, Person asked, are you a prophet?
I said, no. No. Hallelujah. I said, no. This is, I said, yes. And from there, that was the right time. Hallelujah. Are you following me? How often do you put the word of God out like that? So there might not be someone in the office that you just go talking to normal. Most times we get too familiar. Let me use the word familiar today. We get too close and familiar to people as colleagues, as friends in the office with Jesus and all, and we forget the supernatural parts of this. We forget the fact that we are supernatural people. Hallelujah. What about now? Supernatural. We are supernatural people with a supernatural assignment in the earth. Supernatural people with a supernatural assignment in the natural, in the earth. So, hallelujah. Are you following me? We have supernatural assignment. It's the gospel. How often do you put out the word of God to men? How often do you reach men for the gospel? This week, let's take on that task. Hallelujah. Let's take on that task.